This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I love the new temperature.
I know, right? It's like we're starting to get those mornings where we have the little crisp fall-like air. And I know it's been fall for a couple of weeks, but we're now getting the temperatures to catch up with it. And so now this is the kind of the time of year where people kind of get happy about it. And it's like, yeah, we are moving. We are making progress. We're getting towards the holidays. We're into fall and all the fall meals and the fall pies and the fall produce that you find at the store and everything that comes along with that. And right after that, it's the holidays. And whiz bang, we're into next year.
Man, you're getting excited. It scares me.
The spirit starts taking over. I can't help it.
That's right. I know. You just, at this time of year, you start thinking about food and it just, it goes downhill from there.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about food all year long. It's just now I have we're getting closer to actually getting it. So.
Yeah. And so you're thinking, you know, once it gets Halloween, it's happy days are here again.
Happy days are here again. Might as well bring it up. You know, what harm could it do, you know?
That's right. I mean, what harm could it do at our age? I mean, you know.
tell me that you don't start, when it starts getting cool, tell me you don't start looking forward to, like, the smell of homemade apple pies and cinnamon and things like that at the house.
Yes, I do. I hate to admit it.
See?
And I think about pecan pies a lot.
Aww.
You know, I do love pecan pies. And I have a walnut tree. And so I think about, you know, what we could do with those walnuts, you know. We could use it in candy and different things.
Wow. See, now you're going into candy and everything. You're getting fancy with the walnut candies and all that.
That's right. I mean, you know, you got to think about it.
Oh, I think about it.
we
had a couple of days, you know, now where we've had some cooler temperatures. Yesterday was a noticeably different when we got up in the morning. And now I think it's a little bit warm this weekend, today and tomorrow. But then by Monday, I think we're going to be in the low 70s. We normally should be around 83-ish, but we'll be in the low 70s. On Monday, so it's nice.
It's going to be nice from here on out.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be glorious days again. You know,
glorious days are here.
That's right. And nothing can stand in our way now.
Yeah, yeah. Halloween is like 3 weeks away, and you know, then you got Thanksgiving, and you got Christmas, and here we go.
I know it, and all across Texas. There's something going on every minute. Texas, I don't know about other states because I've never lived all these places, but, you know, we have something going on every weekend somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're the happiest people in the world. They've always got a festival. Festivals are in their blood.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, it's just in their blood.
They're done right. You know, you can go to other states and other places, and they may have a festival, they may have a fair, and it's fine. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But you may have like one a month or one throughout the season, or you know, something like that. But the thing for Texans is it's nothing to drive several hours to get someplace. So you know, if you were to go to like Georgia, say, and there was a festival, you know, 5 hours away, nobody would even think twice about it. There's no way I'm going to that. I'm not driving 5 hours to get anything.
Oh, my gosh, so, and that's just nothing.
I know. So they miss out on all these things. And so here in Texas, you know, if you have to drive over, you know, towards Dallas or Fort Worth or, you know, up to Amarillo or wherever, it's no big deal. It's just part of you know, how we live. And so there's so many things going on, and people think nothing of taking advantage of it. And that's the great thing about being here.
It is, because In fall, just like in summer, there's something in every little town in Texas. And then in your major cities, they're just busy, having wonderful times and doing things. Sometimes it's just weekends. Sometimes it's all week.
Yeah.
I mean, they take advantage of every day. I mean, they don't want a day to go by that they aren't celebrating something.
Well, and that's a good outlook to have, too.
It is. I mean, I think they're happier here than anywhere in the world.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. You know, there's things going on. I'm willing to bet, and I'm just making this up as I go, but I'm willing to bet that if you were to drive from West Texas to East Texas for some kind of a festival or a fair, somewhere along the way, you could hit these little tiny towns and run into some kind of celebration at least 4 or 5 times between here and there.
I guarantee it's true.
Yeah.
You know, and like all these different towns, they have something to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether it's Black Eyed Peas over in East Texas, or in Pecos, it's cantaloupe. I mean, whatever it is, there's a festival for everything.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being here. And the thing with Texas is it's so big, we have so many different climates. You know, we've talked about this over the last couple of years. You know, you go to areas of Texas that are, they're more lush, they're more green, they're more moist, and then you can go to other areas that are drier. So depending on where you go, you know, you may find cotton, you know, up to the north of here, and then, you know, you go down southeast a little bit, you find other kinds of things, like watermelons and things like that, and then you go East Texas, you find other things. It's so diverse. Even 45 minutes outside of Midland, Odessa area, you start running into, you know, different kinds of climates, which supports different kinds of, you know, vegetation and things like that. You go even further and you find different things. And that's another wonderful thing about being here is so much diversity.
That's right. And the temperatures are different everywhere, as well as the landscape. That's neat.
Yeah,
you know, you don't. It's not a hot everywhere, or it's not cold everywhere. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Now in the heart of summer, it's like 1,000 degrees no matter where you go. But we start.
That's right.
It's like being on the sun. But you know, you get into fall, and that's when temperatures really start to break up a little bit. And with all these things, it's so amazing. And I love when we get into trivia, especially in the fall time, because you know you always highlight things like that, and you know all the different things to do, and there is so much to do. And so that's another wonderful thing. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, and we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite store in all the land.
My favorite store. And, you know, it'll be getting better and better because you know what it's like over there at Christmas. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I have heard you just...
It's like a
dream destination for you.
It is. It's a fairyland. For a woman, it is an absolute fairyland. When they make all those decorations, I go crazy. It's just not anything I can help.
You can't help it. Oh, boy.
I have to go over and participate.
Yeah, you do. You have to check in. You know, have to make sure everything's okay. Maybe put couple things in the car before you leave. You know, you never know.
That's right, and sometimes they're big things. So those decorations are pretty big, but they're wonderful.
Well, have you ever had to rent a truck or have anybody come by with special transportation?
No, but that's a good thought.
It's coming. I can feel it in my bones.
I just hadn't thought of that yet. You know? Just hadn't thought of it. If I had, you know, I'd already be doing that.
Well, see, now here you go. Now you got a whole new thing. Something to
that's
look
right.
forward to. This is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And I think the big news from this past week is the stock market. We saw what happened. Down a lot, up just a little tiny bit, mostly down. And so I had heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I had heard that Wednesday or Thursday, between I think the 2 days, the entire third quarter profits were lost in 2 days. Is that accurate?
That's what I heard too. I heard that they lost it all. It came back at the end, but not fully. You know, it just came back a little bit. But what a disaster!
Yeah, and it can take a long time. You know, if you get the right situation, people have the right investments on Wall Street. It won't take many of those to start wiping people out to even a, I don't want to say maybe to the scale of 2008, but boy, you know, you start to see things like this past week, and people have got to be getting a little bit nervous. What are you hearing? What are people saying to you? What's your feeling say?
Well, people are afraid it might go down for, you know, a lot. And you know, if we have a recession, of course, I don't think we will, because I think the jobs are too important. You know, the numbers are up. Unemployment's way, way down. I think it's just going to go up and down. I just don't think it's going to get steady and stay there. I don't think it's going to do that, because everything is on politics right now. Mm-hmm. So politics seems to be driving this. You know, when people hear something they don't like, you know, they rush out and the stock goes down. So, you know, I would not want to be in the stock market right now, because remember this, it takes a long time to recover when it goes down, especially if you're in an index or mutual fund, you know. So I don't know what their earnings are going to be, but I'd say it's going to be very bad. I don't think it's going to be good.
Do you think a lot of this is because, you know, people see things that are happening, you know, kind of like you said, they hear something they don't like, they panic and they think, oh my goodness, this is going to be the one thing that sends the market into a tailspin. Do you think they're reacting with that kind of maybe fear?
I do think so. And everybody is, you know, all the things they're hearing on television right now is getting them upset, you know, and the things they're reading gets them upset. And, you know, they hear that, you know, we don't have a deal with China. We're, you know, working on that. And they hear about all the tariffs. They hear about, you know, all the uncertainty, and that drives it down. And thank goodness we're not in that kind of a situation where that, you know, things overseas can cause people's investments to go down. It'd be a scary thing, I can tell you.
You know, and I hear a lot of experts get on TV and they say that, you know, the uncertainty of things, not only with politics, but all around the world, the uncertainty is just going to get even that much more intense. So if people are reacting to the uncertainty and it's driving the market down for these big drops, you know, in these big losses, you know, that we keep seeing, knowing that that's there's like a cause and effect here, if that's not going to get any better, if it does indeed get a little bit more turbulent, like they say it will, that may cause even more losses on the stock market. And so I wonder if people are looking at like this big picture and they're saying, wow, you know, we've been through some pretty significant bumps over the last several months, and they're saying that the road's just going to get rougher. We need to find some other alternative before we lose everything. Is that a fair way to look at this?
That's the way I think most people look at it. And they're looking also at all these retail stores closing.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Bed Bath & Beyond, which is one of my favorites, and they're going to close a lot of stores.
Yeah.
I mean, all these big box stores have found that these big malls are not the answer.
Yeah,
you know, it was the answer 10 years ago. But now they're trying to get out of their leases. A lot of the big malls are going broke. And, of course, everybody sees all that. They see what the earnings are for these companies and see that they're down when they should be up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you couple that with the news every day, and that will scare you, you know?
You know, it almost seems like we're going into the holiday season. Normally, we start getting into fourth quarter, and people, you know, there's some kind of optimism. Hey, we're going into fourth quarter. You know, we'll get all the holiday, the retail business will start spiking, you know, back up again, and then, you know, we go, you know, back into Black Friday, and then we start, you know, really earnings start to pick up a little bit. But it almost seems like, from what I'm hearing, some of what people are saying, but also some of what they're not saying, you know, they're not going into the holiday season, it seems like, with the confidence they had in past years. Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I don't know. I can't tell yet. I mean, I think we won't know till, you know, probably November, you know, how they're really feeling about the situation for the end of the year. And it depends, you know, some of these companies have laid off, like Kroger has laid off 500 people.
Wow.
Now, you think that isn't going to affect the market?
Yeah.
When people read that Kroger says, well, our earnings weren't good, we're just going to lay off 500 people.
Yeah.
Well, and that is a huge company. And they own other companies. I didn't know that till this week. They own a lot of other companies, not just a food company.
Yeah. In fact, a couple other, I think Ralph's is a Kroger company. They just, it's a different name. But they sell Kroger brand items as well.
Okay. And I didn't even know it was Ralph's. I knew there was two or three other companies that they owned. And I go, my gosh, they have not only to make a profit here, they've got to make a profit in those other companies. And you combine it all and see what, you know, what's going to happen for the year.
Yeah, yeah. And so you look at all this and you think, wow, you know, these are, you know, large companies that have been stable for years and years and years. And then we look at the layoffs that have been going on here in West Texas. You combine all of that and you think, wow, the uncertainty is even worse. People are uncertain about the uncertainty. And so it seems like this is a good time for people to start maybe rethinking things before we have something. I know, you know, some people have mixed feelings about if we'll see another 2008, if we'll see, you know, any kind of a recession, you know. So there's some uncertainty about that. But the realistic possibility is that it could happen. And so with all the ups and downs that we've seen, this might be a good time for people to start looking for some other alternatives. And so what would you say would be the best thing for people to do right now? I'm pretty sure it's not going to be you need to panic and do something drastic, but maybe a small shift here and there. That's what I'm guessing is what you'll say.
Well, and I had some calls this week, and I hadn't thought about that. A couple of people said, Faye, I'm invested in oil and gas, and I'm invested in real estate, and I need a plan.
Yeah.
In other words, those are, things are not going to work. They said that the leases out there in the field have gotten so high, it's going to be hard for an independent to make any money.
Mm.
You know, the oil leases are just skyrocketing, and it's all the major companies that are buying them up.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, and so this one person said, you know, I think I might want to do something else instead of, you know, me putting my money in a drilling program with someone. Apparently they were in some drilling programs. And they said, you know, I don't think I want to do any more drilling programs. and they said they were in some real estate. And they said, I think we need to be a little more diversified here because, you know, the people that they were doing their oil and gas with cannot buy leases right now because they're so high. The major companies have just outbid them. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. It's almost like you've got a like a domino effect, like a cause and effect type of thing going on, you know, with the oil being in the situation it is now affecting real estate, which is affecting other things. And so it seems like there's this domino effect that's starting to take effect as far as people's investments go. Would you say that's true, or am I looking at
it
wrong?
Yes, I believe it is. And so, you know, a lot of people are coming over to us because it doesn't go up and down. It doesn't have the fluctuation. And that's what they're worried about, is everything is fluctuating so bad they can't get a handle on it, you know? And if the majors out there, like I said, in the oil business, are buying up all the leases, then a lot of these people, you know, are not going to be in a well. You know, they're not investing in a well with someone.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're looking for something else that's solid that'll give them diversification, but maybe not as much risk.
And so a lot of people are turning to life insurance policies as a more of a conservative type of investment, because with a life insurance policy, its value is not affected by anything. It's not affected by oil. It's not affected by real estate. It's not affected by politics. It's not affected by a China deal or whatever may be happening anywhere around the world. I mean, it is its own self, and it holds its value. I would say at this point, would you call that probably the greatest aspect asset of a life settlement, because it holds its value?
Right, because it doesn't go up and down, and you can depend on it. In other words, you know that whatever you went in at, you're going to get your principal back. You know that your principal is in a life insurance company. We don't control that, and that's what's good about it, is our company doesn't control it. It's controlled by a life insurance policy, which I think it's a better investment, you know, frankly, because I would rather have my money in a life insurance policy and get that money from the life insurance company when these people pass away, than having, you know, money in stocks or mutual funds that I don't control. I mean, you have no control over that.
It's as predictable as the wind, really, when it comes down to it. I mean, anything
That's
can affect
it.
Those things.
Yes, and so this is not affected by all the outside interest. That's why I think it's a little bit safer investment.
Yeah, and so people are they're looking for conservative types of things. One thing they should not expect is to come in, invest in a life insurance policy, hit it big, wait for the policy to mature, get out and retire. That's not how this works at all. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, on Wall Street I can get, you know, I have a somewhat of a decent chance of hitting something big and then, you know, getting that big payout that I'm looking for. The other thing is that right now that's not happening for anybody anywhere. So it's like, if that's what you're looking for, you're probably not going to find it anywhere. So, you know, get into a life insurance policy. And this is part of a plan. This is part of a growth, I guess, a strategy, really, when it comes to retirement, right? I mean, this is something that you would want to plan on doing for a few years or several years or really for the rest of your life, as long as you want to do this. But this is not an overnight get rich kind of a thing. This is a plan.
No, you're not going to get rich, and we're not ever going to tell you that. And it's you've got to be diversified. Even in this, you can't come in with just one policy. If you only have money for one policy, don't bother, because you need to have diversification where that if it goes long, you've got some that didn't go long, and some will come in on time, and then some are going to be early. Then you're going to have some stragglers. You always do. But it'll all wash out in the end. You'll always get paid, because the insurance company's going to pay you. It's not us paying you. It's the insurance company paying you. And, you know, they're worth billions of dollars, and they pay their claims.
Mm-hmm.
And when this claim comes to them, they will pay off.
So
that's what I like about it.
What are we looking at right now as far as the landscape of policies? I know we've had some really big weeks and the last couple of months have been really, really big. So as we're going into fourth quarter, as people thinking about, you know, making that, you know, leap and kind of getting out of the stock market, getting into something a little bit more conservative, what can they expect? What should they see on the horizon?
Okay, we have all kinds of policies available right now. We're getting ready to close on a lot of them, and we've got a lot of them available, and we can get people in a policy, you know, right away, because we're going to be closing four policies in October. So we've got four closings in October, and these are good policies. I think the longest one is 27 months, and I think the shortest one is about 15 months.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they're short, they're medium, and they're good policies, and it's going to be exciting getting everybody in them. Then the people that don't have money in their accounts are going to have to transfer money over in order to get in these new policies. And then we've got claims that this next week the money should be in their accounts on about three different policies. Allsburg is already in their accounts, should have been credited, I think, yesterday on Allsburg. And then we've got three others, Marmaleo, we've got Norris, and there's another one. I don't even remember the name on the third one. But all these should be in everybody's accounts this next week. And but then there's still some people that have used up all their money that are going to have to transfer money in, you know, to get in some of these great policies.
So when policies pay out, like you're expecting here in the next couple of weeks or so, what do people typically do when they get paid and it goes in their account? Do they reinvest?
Oh, yes. They should all reinvest if they're happy with us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And most of these, you know, we've sent out reservations to see on several of the policies if they're ready to reinvest, because their money, as I said, will be there this week. So they should be ready to reinvest and keep the interest going. You want your interest coming in all the time.
So how does something like this, how does the big picture work out as far as planning for retirement, growing your wealth and things like that? How does the life insurance policy make people money over the long term?
Well, it's that interest. It's making that interest on a consistent basis on your policies. As they mature, you get paid every time. And this is what is the buildup, you know, to get you where you want to be.
How long should somebody plan on being in the program?
At least 7 years.
Okay.
And a lot of longer than that. You know, a lot of times they're in it 10 years.
Well, I know a lot of people have been in the stock market for 15, 20, 30 years and haven't made a dime.
That's right. You know, I looked at some people this week, and they were doing annuities with us. Now, these people are middle-aged, and this is a shame. But his portfolio was less than 100, and hers was like $20,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And do you want to be in that shape in your 50s?
No, by that time, you would have expected to be much further along and closer to retirement. I'm guessing, because you can't retire on that, right?
No, you can't. You're not even ready. I mean, you've got to keep working for a long time if you're starting that small.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when people come to us, if they've got $150,000, $250,000, you know, in 7 years we can do something, or even in 5 years. But, you know, you've got to, in your 50s, you've got to have accomplished something. You know, you can't be just starting out. And we've got a lot of people, as I said, are going to retire because of the situation in the oil field. You know, they've just had it. They've worked long and hard, and they're hanging it up, and they don't care. So, you know, they've got some good portfolios to start with. Most of ours do. And so this will help them along a lot.
So what if somebody is in that situation? What if they're, you know, say, yeah, there are some layoffs coming. They go ahead and take a buyout because they're being offered all over the place. What if somebody takes the buyout, but they say, Faye, I'm 53. I'm taking my buyout. I'm walking away. I'm going to get a big, huge chunk of change. I have done very little investing as far as planning for retirement, but I've got this lump sum of money. What do you tell that person? What should they do?
Well, they need to bring it over to us and take that lump sum. Let's reinvest it, and then you go and get another job. If you're 53 years old, you certainly can't retire. You know, you're way too young. You need to be working and you know, making money where you can reinvest it, where you can have interest coming in. Now, if they're 59, they may have more money than that. But if they're 53, like you said, they may not have enough to retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I know very few that do.
Yeah. And you know, and there's another thing. You know, it says that you start to wonder, well, you know, if you do have a little bit of money set aside, say $300,000, $400,000, that's not enough to retire on. And I think a lot of people go into, you know, like their 50s and they say, well, you know, I've got, you know, a couple hundred thousand, $300,000, $400,000. I think I'm ready to go. But you say, no way. You're not even close. You got to build up much further than that.
I guarantee you're not going to live very long on $400,000. I mean, it's going to take a lot to get you through this world. If you're going to live 25 years, you're going to need some money to do it on. You can't do it on just, you know, $300,000 or $400,000. That's not enough. Unless you intend to take $25,000 a year out, and you couldn't live on $25,000. Nobody could.
So if somebody's you know, listening right now and they're saying, okay, well, I'm trying to figure out how much you got in the bank. I've got different investments. I've got, you know, 401k here and there and whatever and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're kind of taking a little bit of rough stock in what they've got. What would you tell them is that number they need to be at in order to retire?
Well, I know that they're going to need over $1 million.
Ooh.
Now, I don't expect them to have all that right now. But I expect them to be working toward that goal where they will have enough to retire early, hopefully, and happy.
So I know that that's going to scare some people. They're going to say, wow, geez, you know, that means I've got to more than double my money before I can retire. So do they need to be at that million the day they retire, or can they be close and then just keep investing?
No, they can
still
be at $600,000, $700,000. But they have to keep investing in order to make it.
Okay. All right. So that's a little bit more attainable. I think it's a little less intimidating, a little less scary for people. It's no, you know, hey, yeah, when you retire, yes, your steady paycheck is going to go away. But as long as you're still investing conservatively, and I think that's the big difference here, is that people can go ahead and retire, but still they're investing and they're still rolling over. Nothing has to change from the day, you know, the last day of work to the first day of retirement. They're still investing and they're still making money and they're still rolling over, and there's still, I guess it's almost like, I don't want to call it bootstrapping, but it's like, they're still making money on top of money, even though their steady paycheck went away.
That's right. And it's just like everything else. You're still going to eat. Well, you still got to make money. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. In other words, life is the same whether you're retired or working. Yeah. Your goal should be the same. Making income at all times. Having enough money that you can take trips, do the things you want to do when you do retire. And you don't want to be strapped for cash. Nobody wants to be talking to their wife about how do we pay the bills. That's not a fun experience.
Yeah, or going back to work at age 75. You don't want to do that.
That's right. You don't want to do it. It's not fun to do that. So what they need to do is right now, while their earning potential is great, do the best job they can, make as much interest as they can, and then after they retire, yes, you're going to start taking money out, but you're going to continue to make interest, which everything should be okay that way.
So I'm going to ask you the next question that's probably crossing some people's minds right now. It's a simple question, yet a complex question with a simple answer. So when people say, okay, I'm going to retire, let's just pretend we're retiring tomorrow. The steady paycheck goes away. How do I keep reinvesting but still have money to spend and pay bills and vacation and travel and do the things that I want to do without scaling back? How do we come up with all that and get all that covered?
Okay, first of all, we've got to find out how much you're going to need per year. So we're going to put a couple of years worth of money aside and say, okay, this is the money you're going to have to live on, and this should be enough. And then we start reinvesting this other money where that every year they will have extra income. Where you're going to have $20,000 or $24,000 in interest every year or more. I've got some people that their interest income with us is $90,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's plenty of money. But it takes years of getting to that point. So they didn't do it overnight.
They had to build up the nest first, then they
can
retire, then they've got enough in there to go ahead, reinvest in several policies, but still have access to cash to do all the things that they've dreamed of doing their whole life. And you set all this up, knowing, what they're making, what assets they currently have, what they need to be at, how much they need a year. There's a lot of factors that go into this, and you figure all of this up for them. You help people come to those numbers and what needs to be where.
That's exactly right, because we're going to go over what their expenses are. If you're spending $100,000 a year, you're going to have to set aside, like $200,000 to get you through the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I have people come to me and they're fixing to retire. I say, okay, when do you need cash? They say, we don't need any cash for 3 or 4 years. We've got enough right now in savings. We've got enough in the bank. We're comfortable, and that's the best situation, because they're comfortable for right now, and then if we pile the interest up every year, they're going to be in great shape.
Now, for somebody who's in that kind of a situation, are we talking about no debt, little debt, or...
They have none. They have no debt.
So the house is paid off, cars are paid off, boats paid off.
Everything.
Okay.
And then they've got a nice bank account, a nice savings account, and then they have, as I said, emergency money, which you've got to have. We don't want to take on anybody that doesn't have emergency money. It's just a given. You've got to have it.
So we're talking about emergency money in addition to investing money.
That's right. In other words, we say, okay, what do you have set aside for medical emergencies? Do you have a major medical? Do you have group insurance that you're taking from your company as you retire? And most of them do. They are transporting their major medical from the company. So that'll take care of that emergency, so I don't have to worry about that. And then I say, do you have like $50,000 or $25,000 set aside just for emergencies that you can reach out and get? Yes, we do. So that takes care of all that.
So you have general thresholds that you're looking for when it comes to different categories, whether it's, you know, expense, daily expenses, emergencies, travel, things like that. You have rough ballpark numbers of where people should be going into this, so that you're not just they're not just guessing and saying, "Well, I think I might spend maybe $50,000 traveling or something like that." You know, based on past experiences and people's, I guess, behavioral patterns after they retire, you know basically what you're looking for.
That's right. And we know that the first 2 years, people travel constantly. They have never been anywhere. They've never done anything. And they're going to get in the car. They're going to make trips. They're going to get on an airplane. And they're going to travel a lot. And that's expected. And they should do it. And you want to do it while you're young enough that, you know, health will not interfere with it.
Do you find that people, when they first retire, you mentioned, you know, all the traveling and things like that, but do you find that people tend to maybe overextend when they first retire, or do you find that people tend to really underspend and they could be
doing
a little bit more?
No, the first year is tough. The first year, everybody wants to do everything in the world.
Ah.
So that first year, they do overspend, but they settle down after the second year. And it gets back, you know, to manageable. But that first 2 years, sometimes it gets a little crazy because they're just going everywhere, doing everything. I know some clients that spent $90,000 really just, you know, going here and there on that first year. And it settles down after that. Then I have a lot of people, after 2 years, they're buying ranches. I've got all these men buying ranches in different places, far away and close. And it's because they're bored with life. They don't want to be home with the wife, folks.
Well, I'm sure that's got to be tough to get used to. People are going to, you know, they're going to work for 20, 30, sometimes 40 years, having some place to be, having something to do, always being busy. Things to not only keep you physically active, but your mind, because you're thinking about, you know, what you've got to do at work and what projects you've got to get done, reports you got to fill out, somebody you got to call, somebody you got to go visit. Then you retire, all that goes away, and then I guess a ranch kind of takes its place. It's like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this. It gives yourself.
It keeps them busy. Yes,
yeah,
need men need to be kept busy. I mean, you know, they get in trouble if they're not.
Well,
and,
no.
You know. A lot of men just go down there at the coffee shop, just sit there with their friends,
yeah,
and stay away from the house.
Yeah.
But most men need something to do, you know?
So should people, when they come to see you, should they have some kind of an idea of what they're going to need for these different categories and how much they're going to need after they retire, or do you kind of help people get to that place?
Well, I talk to them about it, and lots of times they kind of know what they'd like to do. Then a lot of them don't know. You know, they just don't know how much they're going to need, and we talk about it and say, okay, what are you spending now? You know, what are you doing now? Are you having fun? And a lot of people have had their nose to the grindstone so long they've not had one bit of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I find people that just, you know, they haven't done it. Then I find others who've had a wonderful life, and they've done a lot of things along the way, and a lot of them have said, we should have been working when we were younger, but we have traveled and we've done a lot of fun things, you know. And here we are. We don't have as much as we should have had because we did have a little too much fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's ones that just never spent $1.
Yeah.
I've got clients that I don't think they ever spent the first dollar.
Wow.
They're driving a pickup that's 10 years old.
Yep.
And they could be driving the best and the shiniest pickup in town. They have the money. It's just they're tight.
Yeah.
And, you know,
is that a result?
I don't advise being that tight.
You think that's a result of 2008? People kind of worry about losing everything and don't overspend? Or is it something else?
No, I think some people are. I think some people are. And then we really haven't talked about the people that own their own businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Now, these people tend to have a lot more money. You know, but a lot of them right now are selling their businesses in Midland.
Mm-hmm.
I have some clients that are selling out right now. They're going to take all that money and retire. They're tired. You know, just tired of it and what they've been doing.
Yeah.
And they own and I know lots of people that own two or three businesses, and they're selling those businesses right now. And like I said, one gentleman told me he did a little investment with some people, and he has made exactly $3,000, and that's not good.
Oh, wow.
And now they tell him if he takes his money out, he will lose money.
Oh.
Now, I don't even know what the investment is. He didn't say. And I'm really curious about it. Next time I see him, I'm going to ask him, let me see that. I want to see what you invested in. And 2 years' time, he made $3,000.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, that's not good.
And that's on $100,000, folks.
Holy smokes.
So, you know, and he wanted to get his money back out, and he couldn't because they said, oh, we're going to charge you.
Oh, no.
So always know about the fees. You know, we don't ever talk about that, but if you're in some of these investments, always ask them, how much are you charging me? And then they have that one deal, you know, where they charge about 1% a month to them, and that's for your elite. Being elite is a bunch of bull.
Mm.
You know? Why should you have to pay more than somebody else?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Think that's right.
It's just, I think that's how
right
they get you.
I guess so. I mean, you know, we can convince you how elite you are and that we're going to take more of your money. I like that.
Yeah, you're special, you know? So therefore you owe us more.
That's right. You're so special.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
All right, Faye, let's get into trivia. We always talk about some of the interesting things. You always, you know, mention a place to visit in Texas, some place to go, a place to put on your bucket list, something of interest. So what's our topic this morning?
Today, we're going to talk about Oktoberfest.
Ooh, perfect.
Ooh, it's all over Texas. Had you ever realized that?
I didn't know.
Oktoberfest is celebrated everywhere. I mean, Hill Country is a big one because they're based German there.
Yeah.
But it's everywhere. San Antonio has it. The big beer company there, they have a big festival and bring out the beer. You know, the Germans love beer.
Yeah.
And they love all kinds of beer, you know. And in San Antonio, the beer company actually comes out and says, okay, you know, we're going to furnish this big beer deal. And, you know, they do all that there. But the biggest one, of course, and it's almost over. It starts today and tomorrow. That's in Fredericksburg. It is the polka capital of Texas.
I didn't know there was a polka capital of Texas.
There is, and it's Fredericksburg.
Huh.
And they have all kinds. They're having, like they do a chicken dance. I mean, they do everything, every kind of polka in the world. It's about music. It's about probably green beer. But they have every kind of, you know, German beers there, everything. It's a family deal. It's all this German heritage, you know. And they have a tuba fest there.
Ooh, a tuba fest.
And then the first 390 people get a prize. They have 42 tournaments there. And then you have to look around. You say, okay, which city do I want to go to? San Marcos has one. Johnson City, Bastrop, Austin. As I said, it's all over because they all love polkas. They love the German food. And it's just amazing. Then, next month, not only does New Braunfels celebrate this, next month they have what they call Wurst Fest.
I hope now, that means bratwurst.
It does.
Okay.
It does. and they say they have the best wurst in the state.
Oh, how clever.
It's a 10-day smorgasbord.
Oh.
And they have bratwurst, beerwurst, bockwurst sausages. And they you know, they have potato pancakes, spetzel, all kind of Bavarian delicacies. It's just, I mean, it just flows and flows. They have carnivals. They're going to have musical performance, beer stein holding competitions, and again, polka dancing.
I've never actually gone polka dancing, but I'm thinking I'm starting to plan on it right now.
You need to. I'm going to tell you something. Texas, you know, we love our dances. You know, it's community, it's family. and all these sausages, all these German foods. My gosh, remember these people came here years and years ago, and they made all this German food, just the most magnificent thing in the world. And look at West Texas. It's called WST. It's on the way to Waco. It's another German town that's a long way from these others. But everything there is German, you know? I mean, they have their bakeries. They have everything German. So October is, Oktoberfest all over Texas, and it's really the German town.
There really is a lot to do.
There is so much to do. If I told you everything you could do in Texas for October, you'd be in a panic. You'd go, how could a person possibly, get to all of this?
Yeah, I'm starting to think Oktoberfest should last for like 2 months.
It should, because there's so much to do. And they're also going to have the Texas Mesquite Arts Festival in Fredericksburg.
Ooh.
And that is going to be fabulous. And Lago Vista at St. Mary's, they're having Oktoberfest.
Wow.
I mean, it's just everywhere. You could get food up and down the highway so far away. It's just an amazing deal.
Wow. So in other words, what I'm hearing is that you have no excuse to say there's nothing to do in Texas.
Absolutely, because every day of October, I'm just telling you this, every day of October, there's a festival somewhere.
Mm.
I mean, somewhere. If you're in Brennan, if you're in Waco, it's just and Jasper, remember we talked about butterflies. The Fall Butterfly Festival is October 19th in Jasper.
Mm.
And in Grapeland, on the 25th, you've got the Long Star Blues and Heritage Festival. So there's just so much stuff. You could go every weekend and have a ball. You could go to all these places, eat yourself into oblivion, and go to all these wonderful things.
And then go to another one and eat yourself into oblivion.
That's right. You could just keep going. I mean,
eat till you explode.
and then you can get, once it gets to November, you can go to the turkey shoots.
Oh, boy.
And do fun things like that. And used to, you could win a rifle. I don't know what they give now.
Yeah.
But I know years ago, you could win a rifle if you were the best shot at the turkey shoot.
You see, the fall time fun just doesn't seem to end. It just keeps going. Now we're already into November. We're planning out the entire holiday season right now.
Well, we have to, because there's just so much to do, and New Braunfels, you've also, right there by New Braunfels, you've got that outlet mall, big outlet mall. People come from all over Texas for that. And it's got, really high dollar stores there. So New Braunfels makes a lot of money all year long, but this is a special deal, for their German roots. And they do a 10-day deal. How many people could stand all this for 10 days?
I don't even know. I want to say it'd be great to be, like the vendors and the people involved in it, working it, but I don't know. That's an awful lot.
It is, but I mean, you could try.
Yeah.
You could say, now, Monday through Friday, we're just going to eat our way through this.
We're going to eat our way through it.
Yeah, just do your best, Say, okay, we're here.
Well, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. I know in the summertime we talked about all the fairs and the festivals and the places to go and the food at these different places. And there's so much variety. And as you go through the different seasons, throughout the summer you had the fried stuff. And now, we're getting into like bratwurst and beers and things like that. And then we get into like the holiday types of foods, like the pies and the turkeys and all that. It's just no matter where you go in Texas, no matter what time of year it is, there's so much diversity everywhere you go all year long, and it just keeps on going.
And they love to celebrate everything. And did we mention earlier that this is Smokey Bear's 75th year?
No! Really?
This is the 75th year of Smokey Bear.
Well, I didn't know that.
That came out to prevent forest fires 75 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. So Smokey Bear's been around 75 years.
Well, didn't they used to call him Smokey the Bear, and then they dropped the
I don't remember that. You mean it was Smokey the Bear the Bear?
Yeah.
And now it's just Smokey Bear.
I think so. I might be making that up, or maybe it was a cartoon, but I feel like there's some nugget of knowledge in there somewhere about that. So it might be close.
Close, okay.
It
sometimes that's good enough. Sometimes it's close will just be fine.
Yeah,
you know?
It's fine. It's okay.
It's okay. But, you know, over the years, so much has happened. And, you know, Texas documents everything. So years from now, they'll be talking about all this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, everything has gotten so modern. But in Texas, we still have things that are down to earth and fun for the family.
You know, I feel like there should almost be a competition of festivals to outdo other festivals to see which festival has the biggest festival.
Or the best festival and the best food. I would go for the best food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true, too. It'd be tough. That would be a real tough decision to make, though, I tell you what.
That's right, because you don't want to offend anybody in any locale.
I was thinking because it's all delicious.
Well, and you know, this summer we did all the barbecue places.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is never going away in Texas. That is, you know, between Germans and the barbecue, I mean, it's just an amazing thing that we have this kind of foods in Texas. And the barbecue deal is just getting better and better all the time.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I've been a lot of places all around the country, and there is no other better barbecue than there is in Texas. It's just hands down. It's not even close.
It isn't close. And the winners every year, you know, they all submit their entries, and it's usually these little bitty places that win. It's not the big company that's got everything. It's the mom and pop places that have been doing it for years and know how to do it.
Yep. They've been doing it for generations, cooking on the same equipment, cooking on the same smokers, the same grills, the same, you know, everything. I saw one place that has been using the same bowl of grease for like 70 years or something like that. I don't remember exactly.
That's
what it was.
A little scary.
Well, it is. You think there may be some kind of sanitary
70
thing.
Years? Wow.
But apparently, you know, some of the food sucks up some of the grease, and then you cook something else in it, and it puts a new grease in it. I don't know how it works, but it's like they keep using the same things over and over because they work. It's almost like when you're in the kitchen, when you're cooking, whether it's on a grill or in some kind of a mom and pop kind of a kitchen, it's almost like wine or jeans. You know, the older they get, the better they get. You know, and you don't dare trade in like something called Old Smoky to go get a newfangled grill at the store. You just don't want to risk it.
Oh, no, and they don't do it here. I mean, the men that have done this all their lives, their equipment is old and tried and true, and they would never get some newfangled deal.
Not a chance. No way. And that's,
no way.
That's what sets everything. I think that makes part of the difference of food here in Texas as it does with other places. A lot of other places like to be fancy and new and shiny and all that, but, man, you can't replace the taste of heritage. You know, it doesn't happen.
Well, and remember the other thing, that these are old, established barbecue places that the building sometimes looks a little shady and not tall, but, you know.
Yeah, just put a board over there and prop up the door. It's fine.
That's right. Just prop it up and keep going. I mean, and I've been in a lot of them, and, you know, it's just old concrete floors and, you know, they have the old butcher block paper. I mean, it's fabulous.
Yeah. Nothing fancy, but it is fabulous. You're right about that.
It is fabulous, and it's true barbecue. I mean, their barbecue just melts in your mouth, falls off the bone. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it does.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing like it. Well, happy Oktoberfest, in case I haven't said it yet.
Yes, yeah, Oktoberfest, and I'll let you know how the food is.
Yeah, send me some in the mail, please. That'd be great.
There you go. Just mail it to you, right?
Oh, boy. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring Uptown Midland.
Uptown, you say. Woo, getting
fancy. Uptown.
You know, we were talking about the life settlement program. We're talking about people investing in life insurance policies. We're talking about all the wonderful things that that the program does. People don't have to worry about, you know, losing everything if something happens overseas. You know, it's a life settlement. It keeps its value. You don't have to worry about that going down. You basically invest and you wait for the policy to mature. You get paid. All these wonderful things. We should also point out, though, that there are three major risks involved, and people need to know those going in. And when we say major risks, they're really not all that major, because I think a lot of people are going to hear these and they're going to think, wow, compared to the other risks in other investments, this is a cakewalk. So what are some of the risks?
Well, the biggest risk of all is the policy can go over. Everybody could be wrong. This person, you know, may not be as sick as we all think. So it could go over and you would have to pay extra premium. And we try to keep those at a minimum. And we've gotten better over the years about, you know, making sure how much the premium is. So, but that's your biggest risk. The second risk is it's not liquid during that time. Your money is in a policy. It's not available if you have an emergency. That's why we make sure everyone has emergency cash, okay?
Right.
Then the third one is if a life insurance company ever went under. And that's your least risk of all. Because the life insurance companies are all worth billions of dollars. They have reserves put up that cannot be touched for every policy they do. So, you know, that risk is almost non-existent.
Yeah. But people know about it going in, and so
they have to know.
They have to know. Now, when you talk about having emergency money, to do the program at all, one has to be accredited. And so most of the people that come, or I guess probably all the people that come see you and are involved in this the program don't really have to worry about that because they're accredited. And so what does it mean to, what are the guidelines?
Okay, you must make either $200,000 a year, including your bonuses at the end of the year, or you have to be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
Yes.
So when somebody's thinking about this and they say, wow, this is really, really great. I'm really interested, although I'm not going to meet the accredited guidelines. So what would you tell somebody in that situation? Are there other options?
That's right. You can do annuities. Annuities have been around 150 years.
Okay. So you can get somebody there. They may have to start building their wealth through an annuity, build it up that way, and then once they get accredited, they can cross over and then start doing the life settlements. On average, how much is the average person, how many policies are they in at any given moment?
Well, a lot of ours are in five or six you know, at a time.
Okay.
And some of them are in a lot more than that.
And real quick, before I let you go, for somebody who is, you know, maybe they're getting up there, maybe in their upper 40s, maybe they're in their mid-50s, and they're saying, Faye, you know, I've got some money over here. I know I should have been investing for 20 years. I haven't really done anything. I've got some money saved up, but I haven't really invested. Is it too late to get started in something like this? What would you say?
No. I always tell them, unless you're really old, you're in fine. You're in good shape. Because, you know, we don't do old people. We're not going to do seniors. We love them, but we don't want them as clients.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right, Faye. So for somebody to come make an appointment to come see you, I assume you have some availability for people to come talk to you this coming
week.
Yes,
we'll be available Wednesday through Friday.
Okay, perfect. And one last time, what is your phone number for people to call and make an appointment?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.